Invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 1. As we continue on in our series. This morning we'll be looking at verses 19 down through verse 25. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. It is never a good thing to fall asleep during a sermon. How would you like it to be the fact that you were in the Bible, listed in God's holy word, but really the only story about you is the time that you fell asleep during a sermon? Happened to poor Eutychus, a young man who had gone to his Sunday evening service at his church. And it was going a little bit long. In fact, they had a guest preacher that night. It was the Apostle Paul who was there preaching to them. And it was midnight when he was preaching. The church had gathered in the third story room of a building. And there were people packed into it. There were lamps burning, and so the room was hot. The room was stuffy. And Paul had just been droning on for a long time. Eutychus, to get some fresh air and to be able to try to listen to Paul preach God's word, decided that he would go and sit in the windowsill of the room. Well, you know what happened as Paul continued to preach on and on and on. Eventually, we're told in the scriptures that Eutychus fell asleep. In fact, we're told he fell into a deep sleep. And as he did, he not only fell asleep, but he fell out of the window, three stories down, and hit the ground. And he died. So let this be the lesson for you this morning. Don't fall asleep during the sermon. We're told in the scriptures that Paul came down the stairs with everyone following. It doesn't seem like it was quite the commotion that you would think it would be, but Paul went up to Eutychus, who was laying on the ground, and we're told that he bent over him, he stooped over him to look at him. And then he gathered him up in his arms and he comforted the crowd and said, "Don't worry. There is still life in Eutychus." And then, almost with an afterthought, we're told that immediately what happened was everybody went back upstairs to the third story room. They ate some food. Paul preached some more until the daylight, and then everybody went home, Eutychus with them. And we're told at the end of this passage that the people went away not a little bit comforted. This is the first recording of someone falling asleep during a sermon. And it's been happening ever since. Now, usually in our contexts, it's not a matter of life and death if you doze off during a sermon, as long as you aren't sitting in a third-story window. But if your attitude, if your lifestyle is one towards sleepiness about God's word, then it is a life and death matter. Then it is important. And so this morning, as we look at James and his encouragement to us, the question that I want you to ask yourself is, what is my attitude toward God's word? James has been talking about, throughout the beginning part of the chapter, trials and struggles and difficulties that we go through in life. He's been telling us about how the struggles and trials that we go through in life are supposed to actually mature our faith and make us people who are complete and lacking nothing, mature and built up in our Christian faith and understanding. And because that is the purpose of our trials and difficulties in life, that we're even supposed to consider our trials and difficulties as joy, knowing that God is at work in them and through them, using them to strengthen us and to mature us in our faith. But let's be honest, even as James has given us some ways of doing that and thinking about it in that way, let's be honest, it is hard for us to look at our struggles and our trials and our difficulties with joy. How can we possibly do that? And even though James has given us some other things earlier in the chapter, today he gives us another tool, he gives us another resource, he gives us another way that we can actually live this way. The question is, how can the Word of God be a tool like that for us? The question is, what is your attitude towards the Word of God? He tells us that it is to be a resource and a tool and a help to us, but it will only be that way if we hear it, if we receive it, if we do it. That's what he says, is it not? Just look at the beginning in verses 19 and 20, where James is saying, "Know this, my beloved brothers," or "You know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." James is instructing his people here that they are to be people who hear, who listen to God's word, and he is in giving them the posture that they should have. We are to be quick to hear and slow to speak, he says. Quick to listen to God's word and slow to speak. And that is the exact opposite of how we normally live our lives, is it not? Our lives are filled with speaking, and it's hard for us to listen and hard for us to hear. Unless what we're listening to is engaging and exciting and energetic, it is so easy for us to not listen, but in our own minds to prepare what the words are that we're going to speak when we're given the opportunity. Now, you know what this is like. You've been talking with people before in a conversation, and you see the eyes just kind of glaze over. Maybe you've even done that before and caught yourself. James is speaking about the fact that we are to be people who, rather than having our eyes glaze over, daydream when we read God's word, that we are to be people who are actually thinking about what we're listening to. We tend to be people who not only have our eyes easily glaze over, but we tend to be people who are quick to speak. We are quick to draw conclusions. We are quick to evaluate. We are quick to judge. We are quick to determine what the problem is and what the solution is, and let us give it to you. And if our time to speak gets delayed, we tend to get impatient and even angry. And James is saying we are to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. This past week, I was at a board meeting for a group of pastors here in town called Team Rochester. It is a group of pastors from the evangelical churches in town that get together to pray and to work together to further the work of Christ's kingdom in Rochester, and then to put some of those wheels in motion. And this past week, we had a board meeting, and 15 pastors were gathered together in a room, and we were thinking and praying and talking together and coming up with ideas and ways that things need to be done better and differently in order to encourage our churches to be participating in the work that God is doing here in this city. And at one point, I looked around the room, and I realized that I was, of the 15 pastors that were here, I was the second youngest person in the room, by far. And not only that, but that I had been in Rochester for the second least amount of years of everybody else in the room, by far. And as I was thinking about this passage and preaching it this week and reflecting on who I was in this room, I said to myself, shut up and listen. That's what I needed to do. I didn't need to offer wisdom, ideas. I needed to listen to these other pastors who had more ministry experience and more Rochester experience than I did. And in a way, that's what James is saying to us should be our posture as we come to God's Word. We should listen to it. We should be quick to listen. We should be slow to speak, and as if we know what God's Word says, and we should be quick to drink it in. This should be the posture of every Christian as we come to the Word of God. How often our eyes glaze over as we read it. How often we stop reading it because we have something that we need to say to somebody else or something that we need to do. But James is saying, if we are going to be people who have the Word of God as truly part of our lives and our ministries and our church and our families, we are to be people who hear it and listen to it. But it's not just hearing it, it's also receiving it. James makes that comment here a little bit later in the passage. Verse 21, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to receive your souls. Receive with meekness the implanted Word, James says. It's not just that we're supposed to hear God's Word and listen to it. We are supposed to receive it with meekness. Now, what does that mean? He says that it is the implanted Word. You can see the word that is right there in verse 21. Receive the implanted Word, something that is buried in us, something that is taking root in our lives, something that has been put into fertile soil of our hearts, something that is more than just hearing it and listening to it. It is receiving God's Word. It is believing it. It is accepting it. It is agreeing with it. It is taking it in and allowing it to take root in our life and in our hearts. It is something greater. It's a greater level than simply listening to what it is saying. Now it's implanted. It's embedded. It is taking root. And if that's what James is talking about here, of what it means to receive the Word, that it actually comes in more than just hearing it, it is being received and it is being accepted, it is being believed. Notice he also tells us the attitude by which we're supposed to receive it. What does he say? He says, putting away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. We are to be people who are, it's almost as if he is connecting that back with the first part of what he said in the end of verse 20, speaking quickly and getting angry when we're not able to say what we want to say. And that idea of anger in our minds is almost the thought that he's continuing on here saying, put that away. Don't be people who are filled with anger, filled with impatience. It says instead, receive the Word. And he says, with meekness. You see that in verse 21. Receive it with meekness. The same word can be translated with humility. It can be translated meekness or with humility or with gentleness. It's this idea of not fighting against God's Word, of not putting yourself over the top of God's Word, but you are receiving it. You are taking it in. You are believing it. You are allowing it to take root in your life and in your heart and in your family. You're allowing God's Word to be over you and informing you and teaching you. And you are accepting it. That's the difference between just hearing something and actually receiving it, taking it in. And James says we must be hearers of the Word and we must receive the Word. And notice, as if we need it, he gives us a couple of reasons why we should do it. Why we should be people who receive the Word with meekness. Look at the end of verse 25. He says, we'll be blessed in doing it. We want to be blessed. We want to be blessed by God. We want to have God's blessing on our life. But even more than that, notice what he says at the end of verse 22, receiving God's word, listening to it, hearing it, receiving it, taking it in. It is the word of God that is able to save your souls. Why should you be people who are concerned with listening to God's word? Why should you be people who are interested in having it come in and take root in your heart and to believe it and to accept it? Because God uses it to bless you. God uses it to save your souls. We are to be people who hear God's word. We are to be people who receive it. And notice he also says that we are to be people who do it. Just hearing it, just receiving it is not enough. You have to be people who do the word of God as well. And he is very plain in what he says, is he not? In verse 22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. James is saying that if we hear and we listen to God's word, we receive it, we say that we agree with it, we believe it, but we don't do what it says, we are deceiving ourselves. The same word could be translated defraud, or delude, or cheat. We are deceiving ourselves, we are defrauding ourselves, we are deluding ourselves, we are cheating ourselves if we are people who listen to God's word but don't do what it says. You heard Elder Hoag pray earlier for the Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University class that is ongoing through our church in partnership with the school here on Wednesday nights. I think we have about 35 or 40 people that are coming weekly, people from our church, people from the community that are coming and learning about biblical principles of stewardship, of how to take care of money. We're talking about the attitudes that we should have about money, but we're also talking about the actions that we are supposed to have with regard to money. If we go through this course and we hear the principles from the scriptures and we listen to them and we even receive them saying that I agree with these, I believe these, and even put plans into motion to start living off of a budget, to start putting some money away for some emergency situations that might come up, of trying to get ourselves out of debt. If we have plans made and laid as we listen to these principles and yet not do any of it, we have completely missed the point. In fact, not only have we missed the point, in some ways it's even worse than if we hadn't even tried to begin with, because we know better, having learned the principles and put these plans into place. In fact, we defraud ourselves. We cheat ourselves. We delude ourselves into thinking anything is better in our lives if all we've done is learn the principles and made some plans and not done anything about it. And that's exactly what James is saying here to us in God's word. We have to be doers of the word. It is not enough simply to listen to God's word, to hear what it says, to let it come in and say that we agree with it and we are planning on doing things more according to what it says and then never to do it. James says we are deceivers, we are defrauders if we live that way. And so what does a doer of the word look like? Five things from this passage. Look first at what it says earlier the illustration of a bad example that he gives us in verse 23 and 24. He says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face. It's that word intently I want you to think about for just a second. Down further in verse 25, he says, the one who looks into the perfect law. It's actually the same idea there. He's saying the one who looks intently, looks into the perfect law, the word of God. That word that is being used there by James is actually the same word that is chosen in John chapter 20 for when Peter and Mary looked into the tomb on Easter Sunday. Now think about that for a second. Peter and Mary going to the tomb with the stone rolled away, and we're told that they stoop down and look into the tomb. Same word that's being used here for looking into God's word. What would it have been like for them to look into the tomb? Would it have been a quick glance? They would have stooped down and looked into the tomb, and they would have spent time analyzing the tomb. Can this be? Their mind would have been racing with ideas and thoughts and things that Jesus had talked about. They would have been analyzing and studying and looking deeply into that tomb to see if what was in the tomb, and to see if anything was in the tomb. It's the same word that James is using here, and it's the same idea that we are supposed to have as we look into God's word. We are to look into it intently, with intensity. We are to look into it attentively, carefully, raptly, absorbed, deeply examining God's word with the same kind of excitement and wanting to know what's going on that Peter and Mary would have looked into the tomb with. So I just ask you this morning, is that how you read God's word? When you open it up here at Trinity or in your home or in your families, with your families or wherever it might be in Bible study, are you looking at God's word with that kind of intensity? Because he said that's what it means to be a doer of the word. If you want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer, you are to look into the word with that kind of intensity. But notice he also says that we not only are to look into it with intensity, but someone who is a doer of the word is someone who sees God's word as a mirror. That's the metaphor, the analogy that he gives us here in these verses, is it not? It's of a man looking into the mirror. And he's saying the scriptures are like a mirror. They're reflective of who you are. They show you what you are on the outside, and they show you what you are on the inside. And it gets personal. It reveals truth about who you are. It reveals truth about who you are not and who you are supposed to be. And it cuts at times. In fact, that's even the analogy that we get from Hebrews in chapter 4. As we read about God's word in Hebrews chapter 4 in verses 12 and 13, it says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." The scriptures cut us as we stare at them, and they are reflective of who we are and who we are supposed to be, who God wants us and calls us to be. The Bible is not about simply facts and information. And as we are people who are reading it intently, with intensity, looking at it, looking into it, studying it, we are to be people who are being cut by it, that it's going that deep into our hearts and into our lives. Is this how you view God's word? Do you view it as appropriately as a mirror to show you yourself, to allow it to open you up and to open your heart and your mind and to show you what you are supposed to be like? A doer of the word is someone who looks intently at the word. It is someone who views God's word as a mirror. It is also someone who keeps on reading it. You see that? That's that one word that James gives us, but a very important word in verse 25. He mentions the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, he says. Someone who is a doer of the word is someone who is in God's word consistently. This is not a New Year's resolution type person for God's word. I'm not putting up a New Year's resolution for reading God's word. That's good. But so often what happens with New Year's resolutions is that about this time, around Valentine's Day, it seems, the New Year's resolutions go away. But what James is saying is that if someone who is a doer of the word is someone who is looking intently, who is studying it, who is hearing it and listening it and doing it, how often? all the time, persevering in it, abiding in it, being persistent in it. A doer of the word is someone who looks intently, someone who sees it as a mirror into their souls. It is someone who keeps on reading it, and it is also someone who understands that the Scriptures, God's Word, brings freedom. Let's be honest for a second. How many of us really believe that God's Word is more restrictive than free? I mean, when we read God's Word, there's a lot in here about how we're not supposed to act, how we're not supposed to think, how we're not supposed to do, or things that we are supposed to be thinking and are supposed to be saying, and we're restricted, not free, as we read God's Word. But that's not what James says. He calls it the perfect law, the law of liberty, the law of freedom. God's Word is word of freedom. It brings us freedom, even if that's not how we normally think about it. It is how we should be thinking about it. It is only as we are doing God's Word that we are truly free, that we are truly being who we were created to be. The illustration I heard about this past week that you are probably familiar with as well is the idea of a fish swimming in some water. And one day the fish coming up close to the surface and seeing that there's a whole other world out there. And the fish getting angry. It's not fair. I'm constrained by this water. I want to be out. I want to be free. Free of this water. Being able to explore this whole world that I can see cloudly through this water. So the fish gets out of the water and gets onto land. Boys and girls, how long will a fish live on land without water? Not very long. Where is the only place that the fish is truly free? To be a fish. It's in the water. If a fish is out of the water, it will die. It's not free. But a fish is truly free to be a fish, to be all that it's created to be when it's in the environment that it's created to be in. A doer of the word is someone who understands that when they are doing God's word, hearing it, receiving it, doing what it says, abiding in it, putting it into practice, they will truly be free to be all that they were called to be and created to be. So, many people look at God's rules and the Scriptures as being constricting of their lifestyle. What do you mean I have to be generous with my money? It's my money. I've earned it. I get to decide how to do with it. God calls you to be generous with it, and He says that the more generous you are, as you are a generous person with it, He will bless you, and He will make you a blessing, and you will miss those things if you're a stingy person in your heart. You won't be all that God has for you to be unless you do His word. What do you mean I can't have sex before marriage? That sounds so restrictive. That sounds so antiquated. And yet God says that that is the way that we are created to be. And that if we do God's word and we abide by it, we not only will be protected from certain things, but we will have even greater freedom and enjoyment. What do you mean I have to love my spouse and live sacrificially for them? That sounds repressive. But God says that as husbands and wives love their others as their own bodies and serve them sacrificially, give themselves for them, that God uses that to bless them and to bless their marriages in a way that brings freedom that we don't have when we live selfishly in our marriages. Do you view God's word as being restrictive, a rule book of things that you just have to follow and do? Or do you see that God's word is the word of freedom, liberty, enabling you to truly be who God has called you to be? Lastly, a doer of the word is someone who acts on it and so is blessed by it. That's what he says at the end of verse 25. A doer who acts and so will be blessed in his doing. putting God's word into action, putting it into practice, changing our life according to what it says. That's what it means to be a doer of God's word. As we finish this morning, I want you to reflect on the fact that so often we assume that having more knowledge and information means that we're mature. Growing in our knowledge and growing in our information about God's word means that we're more mature Christians. We are more mature in our faith. And maturity is what we want. That's what James is talking about. The very beginning of his book, the beginning of James chapter 1, he talks about how we are to be growing in steadfastness, how we are becoming more and more complete, how we are becoming more and more perfect. Ephesians chapter 4, we preached on, talked about earlier in the year, the Apostle Paul talks about the fact that the church is to be building up mature disciples of Christ. That's what we want. That's the goal that we want. But so often we think that if we just gain the right information and enough information, then we'll be mature. And it's particularly true in this town, with the industries that dominate this town. And it's particularly true in our branch of the church, the Reformed branch. We have a lot of knowledge. And it may be said of us, I don't know, but maybe it'll be said of us at some point that maybe we're one of the most knowledgeable churches in all of Rochester. But brothers and sisters in Christ, if our knowledge of God's word does not move us to be doers of God's word, to be people who are growing not just in our understanding and knowledge of God's word, but in our obedience to it, then we are nothing more than clanging cymbals. We want to be people who grow in our knowledge and in our love and our service to God and to our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what it means to be a mature disciple of Christ. Maturity means knowledge and obedience. And so here's where the problem emerges. The more that we make an effort to do the word, to hear it, to receive it, to look intently into it, to study it, to pore over it, to look at it as a mirror on ourselves, to let it cut into us, to persevere in studying it, the more we try to do it, the more we see that we don't do the Word of God well. In fact, the more that we're actually thoughtful about that, the more that we realize that we're much more like Eutychus. It's easier for us to fall asleep reading God's word than it is for us to get up and do it. We are incredibly inconsistent at best and failures, more realistically, at doing God's word. And so this is the point at which we have to recognize, we have to remember that there was only one person that who has ever consistently and completely and perfectly done God's word. Jesus Christ came into this world and perfectly did every part of God's word. He said over and over that his purpose in coming was to do God's will, God's word. He was the only one who perfectly fulfilled every part of it. Jesus himself was saturated with the word. He taught the word everywhere that he went. He was always quoting the word as he was teaching people, as he was instructing people, as he was rebuking people. As he was led out into the wilderness, he quoted God's word to Satan himself. As he hung on the cross, he quoted God's word. Jesus was saturated with the word. But Jesus was also the word. That's what we read about in earlier in John, John chapter 1, that the Word is Jesus. Jesus not only came and did the Word, but He is the Word. He took on flesh and dwelled among us. And after He did the Word perfectly, completely, He offered His perfect record of word keeping for us. So that when God looks at us, word breakers that we are, he sees us as word keepers because of what Christ has done. And if you want to be someone who not only hears and listens to God's word and receives it, but also is a doer of God's word, seeing your own life growing in obedience to what it says, then you must meditate on what God has done for you in sending the word for you. And the more that you meditate on that and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and remember what He has done, then you will be motivated and empowered by God's Spirit to go out and to be not just hearers of God's Word, but people who are committed to doing it. And as we fail, we admit it and we repent. We ask for forgiveness. We are reminded of our forgiveness in Christ, and we persevere in doing God's Word again. And the blessing of all of this is that if that's what our heart is about, if that's what our life is about, being doers of the Word, we have the reminder from James and from God Himself that God will bless us and He will save our souls in our doing it. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. You could have set up Your church and all of redemptive history any way that You wanted, and yet You chose to set it up by giving us Your written Word. And You have so preserved it and cared for it over the years so that we might have it here and read it today, knowing it is the very Word of God. Father, we are people who are perhaps people who are quick to listen, but slow to do. We fail so easily and so quickly in our doing, and we get so discouraged. But Father, we pray that by the power of Your Spirit, You would make us not just hearers of the Word, Your Word, but that You would make us doers of it. Inspire us and motivate us, remind us of the great provision of the great Word that came and gave His life for us, so that now we know that our souls are redeemed by You and are secure. And now You call us to be people who do the Word for Your glory, and You promise to bless us as we do it. Motivate us, strengthen us in our weakness. Help us, Father. Help us to see Jesus and to see His word keeping, and motivate us to be word keepers as well. We pray it in His name. Amen.